You might like to turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we look to you to set apart these moments that we would have the advantage of your word, Spirit of God, to bring your word home to our heart, that we would have the wonderful opportunity to exercise it in the hours that lie ahead. And our God will thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And in our little exercise that we've spent in the light of Joshua, in chapter 6. And keep in mind, the Ephesians, the believers, all believers in the church age, have an awesome position. They are seated in heavenly places. They have a unique relationship to God. That's all of that's true, as you know. And then you look in the mirror and look at us humans and to say, how can that be? Because we're just humans of flesh and blood. And that's all we is. Wow. Now, but it happens to be true. And the enemy knows it. Believers don't even understand it often. But the enemy does. The enemy knows if God saved you, he truly saved you. And you're really saved. And you're really going to be seated, literally, up in heavenly places. You really belong to God. The devil and the angels know that. Us humans are sort of stupid about it sometimes, too many times. But the angels are. Now, having said that, God, that's why you got in Ephesians 6, because you need the armor of God. The armor belongs to God. The armor involves God. The armor is God. You are to find your safety in Christ and Christ in you. So that now, if the devil, the world system, my old sin nature, wants to change it, they can't. They have to. Our old sin nature has to answer to God. But God has saved me and saved us. So my old sin nature doesn't stand a chance. And I come to the angels, the bad guys, and they're there. And they can't change me. They can't take that away. They can't take it away. God did it. Now God knows, and the angels know, I need to understand it, the armor of God. So therefore, in our little exercise, chapter 6, and in Ephesians chapter 6, we noted and we read verse 14, the armor of God. And we have the loins girt about with truth. We have the wonderful reality that it's all true. But I just mumbled out. It is true more than I can ever say it in 1,000 years. It's true. And we wear the truth. That's what makes us have power around our loins. And we have righteousness, verse 14, around our chest and back, covering our vitals, the heart and lungs, giving us what? The rightness. It's all right. Everything God has done in saving us and having an awesome plan in the future and taking care of us in these moments. And that is right. So when you read and you say, what about God is going to do always? And is doing the right thing in the right way at the right time for the right reasons. and he's doing them. So therefore, doing that. So I have the rightness. So it is it really true? Yes. Is it right? Yes. Now, God, what else? Verse 15. And let your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So here we are, and remember now we're supposed to stand against the wiles of the devil, verse 11. Verse 13, we're supposed to withstand, to resist all the evil of the day in which we live, and we have to stand, to done all to stand. In other words, we have to hold our ground. We aren't Israel. We aren't taking a piece of property. We aren't doing that. No. God saves us out of the world, leaves us in the world, but there's nothing in the world. Your home, your car, your boat, and everything else you got. It belongs here. God, this isn't our home. This isn't where we belong. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so God is going to have to go, and in order to stand up and not fall down. And remember the Roman soldiers, as we shared together in the process, they had on their feet these sandals, and on the bottom of the tied around them, and in the studs, the nail studs, flat nails, not broad heads or whatever you call them, and they went around on the foot so that that shoe, that sandal, isn't made to slide. It's made to grip the ground. So when they had to stand against the enemy, they weren't going to be pushed back as they leaned forward. They weren't going to be pushed back. Their feet were locked in. Now, and so they had that, to hold their ground, to go forward and hold their ground. Now, Israel, we aren't Israel. And the ground we're on is the earthly ground. We don't have a given spot apart from where the assembly is gathered together like this. It's holy ground, that's true. Why is it holy? Because we're here. When we go out of here, it's just a building. What makes it holy? You do. You make it holy. It's special ground because you're there. Now, so what are we doing as we walk in the valley of the shadow of deep darkness, as we go down the corridor of time? So God, we have to have our feet shod with the special sandals. And thus, in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, in order to tackle that one and to look at it so you see it better, over with me in the light, you have to turn there at the moment, over in Romans chapter 1, chapter 3, and verse 17, the way of peace the world has not known. The world does not know. There's none righteous, no, not one. Verse 17, the world doesn't know the way of peace. They don't know about peace. We want peace. They don't know about it. Well, what are we talking about? Your feet shod with the gospel of peace. We're going to look at it, but to get there. Back over, if I can, to Isaiah 57. And in Isaiah chapter 57, God wants his died, his He's going to tell of the world, he's looking to save everybody that would believe. So when we come to 57, going to verse 15, Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble heart, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones, the humble, brokenhearted. Verse 16, for I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth. Why? For the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. In a thousand different ways, he tells you, I made every one of you. When I took your cells and doubled them and tripled them and kept doing it, I did all that. I made you. I put you inside of this body when the baby was ready and it was born. I put you inside this body. I did it. All souls are mine. Sliding down. Verse 19. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But what I would like to do, they don't know peace. I want them to have peace. Verse 20, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and clay, mire and dirt. Verse 23, 21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. They have no peace. Now, what are we supposed to do? We put on the shoes, the sandals around our feet that possess peace. How does that work? Got that part so far. Over, if I can, to John, Gospel of John, chapter 3. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, just to remind us, may I go to verse 18. 3 and 18, Gospel of John. He that believeth on him, on Christ Jesus, is not, N-O-T, condemned or judged. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. When you believed and received Christ as your Savior, God, you allowed God's judgment to be your judgment, and you are not condemned. So if you're saved, and you know the Lord is your Savior, right now, you're not condemned. You're not condemned. Judged. He's already judged you. Secondly, you need to know that. I'm sitting there. I'm just me. Just us. But I'm not condemned. I can't be condemned. Christ died for me and took the condemnation and the judgment that was mine. Verse 36. He that believeth in the Son hath everlasting life and life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And what happened? I'm not condemned. We're not condemned. And there's no wrath. What do you know? It's a time of grace. And we're evidencing God's grace. And we have no wrath. God, the wrath of God is coming up, but we are not under it. We are excluded. We are not included in the wrath of God. No, I'm not condemned, and I can't go through wrath. Think of people that are pushing, that some do, many places, depends where you want to go. Either we're supposed to go through the tribulation to the mid or middle of it, a second part, whatever you do, and into the wrath of God. I can't go into the wrath of God. God rescued me from the wrath of God. I can't go in it. A lot of thousand reasons. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so there's no condemnation. And what else do I know? What else do I know? Over to Romans. And in Romans in chapter 5, picking up, if I may, Romans in chapter 5, may I go to verse 8. God commendeth his love toward us in that, chapter 5, verse 8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from what? Wrath. You're right. By his blood. From wrath through him. And, verse 10, for if when we were enemies, you're right, was peace, you had no peace. You didn't have any peace with God. You're his enemy. The world, flesh, the devil, and all that line up with him. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. That's where you are. You're my enemy, said God. I made it so you could be have peace with me, but you're my enemy. So, again, verse 10, in the middle, well, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, oh, how much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Wow. Now, all of that occurred because Christ died on the cross to save you and me from our sin. So, having done that, what is the gospel? The gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Christ died according to the scriptures. Christ is buried according to the scriptures. Christ is risen according to the scriptures. The scriptures, not just any old thing, according to the will and word of God, the peace of God. God, we don't have any peace. That's true. But Christ died on the cross to make us have peace with God. He paid the penalty. The wages of sin is death. He paid the penalty. So, as we're enemies, but not anymore. Now God, and for time's sake, well, you're right here in Romans 5, and you'll notice, please, I'm going to go to the end of chapter 4 to get the word we're looking for. And in picking up, verse 24. For us also to whom it shall be imputed, reckoned to our account, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our just offenses, he died on the cross to bear our sin in his own body in the tree, and was raised again for our justification to be declared righteous. Christ raised again, would raise the gospel. The gospel is Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And as we shared Romans 1 through 7, and then to chapter 8, we've been doing it in Sunday school. And all of that is the gospel. The gospel is simple. Christ died, rose again. But you want to understand, what did he do? And why did he do it? That's why you got to read Romans, etc. Romans is going to help you understand why he died. How did he die? And then it tells us, Romans 6, how he died. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you can, in the God's awesome movement. So, in chapter 5, verse 1, because we're justified, therefore being justified by faith, what do we get? We have peace with God. How so? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. Peace. No more enemies. No. No more condemned. No wrath. No. 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 God answered it all. I didn't do it. I don't even understand it. God did it. Now, having said that, and you slide down in all of the truth, we don't have time to read it. Verse 2, 3, 4, 5. The hope. We're going to go through the exercise of exercising planet on planet Earth, and we're going to have to go. Oh, I have to do it. I have to do it, I guess. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation, opponents, oppression, obstacles, everything. We got to stand the ground. How are we going to stand the ground? With our feet shod with the gospel of peace. That's how you hold your ground. Verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, bearing up under the load. Verse 3, and bearing up under the load, it produces experience. You learn something. You learn. That's how you learn school and go to school. You learn arithmetic. You learn the multiplication table. You learn everything. You learn how to do everything by keep doing it. And the more you do it, the more you learn how to do it, the more comfortable you are in doing it. And therefore, verse 4, and patience bearing up under the load, experience, exercising, learning, produces hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to go and make it all work. Now, over to chapter 15 of Romans. And the Spirit of God's awesome ministry to do what he does in the way that he does it. And so therefore, looking to God in chapter 15, going directly in the light of the context, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Why? That you may abound in hope. So you go from minute to minute, hour by hour, day by day, inch by inch, you travel and by where you were 10 minutes ago, you aren't there anymore. You're here. And 10 minutes from now, you won't be here. Everything is moving, even though you stand still. It's all moving. It's all changed. And so what happened 10 minutes ago is all gone. You might remember it, but it's all gone. All gone. Now, so God, what are we doing? In verse 13, may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of God is going to go and help us understand. So what are you telling us, God? Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God. Make sure, and all of it as you're going through that, Ephesians 6, is it assumes you have the armor on. Having the armor on, stand. So what do I mean? When do I get it on? When I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and as I do that, and all of that, remember the shirt, good old shirt. I never wear this, but here it is. Shirt. Here's my old nature, and God says you're saved. Do you understand you're not condemned? And you understand you have a wonderful relationship to God. You're not an enemy anymore. You're my friend, said God. So therefore, put on the whole armor of God. I don't have to, I know it, but I need to enjoy it. I need to exercise it in a wonderful way. So, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, over if I can please, in your Bible, over to the Gospel of John, picking up, if I can, and in the Gospel of John, and in chapter 14. And you will note, chapter 14, picking up the thought. Here we are looking for God's wonderful, wonderful grace. God. And without Ephesians, we put on the preparation, the word preparation, readiness, readiness, to be ready, ready. The readiness of the gospel. The gospel is here and now. The good news isn't next week. The good news is now. The truth is now. You're not condemned. You're made a new creature in Christ. That's the truth now. Now. You already have it. You're already there. If you're saved, exercise it. Exercise it. And in doing exercising it, you're going to put on the truth, the way of the truth that God has given us. And now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and I lost my thought because I had two or three others all cram in at once. Do you ever have that? And they all come in at once, and I said, and I have to filter out, and my dumb little mind can't handle it all. I just can't handle it all. It's a wonderful thing. But anyway, now, so we're going to go and put on the whole armor of God. And in Ephesians, you're telling me to do so in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Picking up, please, if I can. In verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, that whatsoever I have said and not. So you just got that this morning, as you did. Verse 27, peace, said the Lord, I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm giving you my peace. Not your peace, my peace, said God. Where am I going to get it? You're going to find it in Christ Jesus. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make love, Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and all of the wonderful things. He brings the life of God into the heart, and we trust God as we go down the corridor of time. And so, God, what are you going to do? God, you've given us your peace. That's what you gave us. It's a gift. And we're to exercise the gift. Put on the soles of your feet. Be ready. Make sure the shoes are on right. On tight, right on for you, to be able to go forward. You're walking in time. You aren't possessing the land. You're walking in the land. You're a light. You no more are in of this. You don't belong in the world. Of the world. You're in the world, but you don't belong of it anymore. You're here. You don't need any of it. I've saved you out of it. I'm condemning the whole thing, but I want you to go to be a light in the middle of the world, a life in the middle of the world. They love darkness, and they're in a state of death. I want you to evidence my person in your life. I want you to, how am I going to do that, God? Put on the whole armor of God. As you go forward, allow me to protect you in a world that doesn't want to. All the world system doesn't understand. But the principalities and powers, the angels, the whole system of evil, they understand and they know and they do. So put on the whole armor of God so that you're able to proceed in their territory, in an evil world, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That's what you're doing. Now, having said that, the peace of God, it's wonderful, God. What are you going to do? I'm going to give you my wonderful, wonderful peace and be able to go and honor me all your days as you go down the corridor of time. So, and in the process, and looking at the peace of God, and as you go forward, God's wonderful peace. So go over with me, please, in the light of John. Go over, if I can, over to, oh, for time's sake, over to, well, yeah, over, if I can, to Ephesians. And before that. No, hang on, let me reverse everything. We just looked at John 14, 26, 27. The peace of God. I don't want to miss the peace. Because as you're trying to cross the very troubled waters, full of piranha and sharks, if you can imagine, and you're trying to go, I want to make sure you have a stone to step on. Otherwise, it's a space. I don't want to leave the space. I want to make sure you've got each stone so you get there. Now, over if I can, back over to John chapter 16. The Gospel of John chapter. Remember we just said the Lord Jesus gives us his peace in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And in chapter 16, when you come to the end of the upper room and before his prayer, chapter 17, chapter 16, how do you close your address directly to the disciples? Verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Not in the world and not in your old nature. I give you my peace. And these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, remember, I'm not going to give you that kind of peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, be encouraged. I have overcome the world. Greater is Christ in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. God, what are you doing? God says, listen, I am your peace in your heart. You receive me as your Savior. I want you to know I'm giving you my peace. You're not my enemy. You're my friend. You're brethren. Literally brethren. Wow. So, you're mine. You belong to me. You're in the family of God. I want you to go forward and understand that I'm going to be everything to you, but you're in the world, and the world of darkness hates light. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, over if I can, please, to Philippians. And in Philippians, if I can, in chapter 4, God, what are you going to do? I'm going to go and take care. So, Philippians in chapter 4, picking, as you know, up in verse 6, Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry, to say that a different way, careful. Don't be anxious. Don't be all over the place. Don't worry. Literally, command, stop worrying. Stop worrying. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, underline big letters, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, don't worry about anything. Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. Verse 7, and when you are trusting me, I told you I gave you my peace, and my peace, verse 7, the peace of God shall pass, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What are you going to do? I told you, I'm in you. I've saved you. I'm giving you my peace. I don't need your peace. You're not condemned. So don't even start telling about how to get along with me. The only way you get along with God is you're crucified and you're a new creature in Christ. That's how you get along with God. So God, what are we going to do? You're going to go and be, you're going to take it. And you're what? So nothing can come in my journey. Put your shoes on. Mark them. Their preparation, their fit for firm footing. As you go down, the gospel which has peace as an attribute. God, the good news includes and involves God's personal peace, so that as you go down the corridor of time, as you march down, God's peace will tranquilize. Peace, the overwhelming, the wellness of soul, the wellness of heart, the completeness of heart and mind. The word in the Old Testament, shalom. Same word. Moment. And peace. God's going to give you wonderful, wonderful peace. And the peace of God, you're not going to understand it. So you don't sit down and say, God, I need the righteousness, I need truth. I don't have to do that. You know, I exercise what you understand, what you're learning, and you do it. And God is being everything to you. First Corinthians 1:30. God has made Christ to be everything that you'll ever need to you. Everything you'll ever need, God in Christ in you, is all you'll ever need. Why? Because the life you now have belongs to whom? God. Eternal life is God's life, and you're able to exercise that life in a wonderful way. What do you mean? Exercise your relationship to God, because it's valid and right and true, and God is going to keep you as you go down. And that's what you're going to do. Why are you going to do it? Because God made it possible. Put on those shoes, those wonderful shoes of peace. I got to quit. That's the way it is. You got the idea a little bit? Try to introduce it to you, to see a little bit of it. It's a wonderful thing. Put those shoes on. Keep them on. God says, and no matter what the ground is, no matter what, ground is mushy, the ground is hard, it's rocky, it's cliffs you got to go up. Do you know? You know yourself. If you had to do some walking and had to climb on the roof or something, or do some tough walking, don't you want to have good shoes? Don't you want to have good shoes to be able to go through anything? Wow, that's what you want. God says, keep the shoes on. It won't matter what the ground is, and no matter who the opposition is, you're able to go down, and every step you take, walking by faith, as children of light, walk in the day, because the days are evil. And you go down the corridor, and you walk, and you trust God. And I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. Wonderful llama, all of it. Wow, God. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word and your grace. And Spirit of God, help us as we stumble along and try to learn a little bit each time. So help us in every way. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for truth. Thank you for all of this. In Christ's name, we ask it. And thank you. Amen.